The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
It's time for Tell It to Stanya.
It's all about you. Ooh, let's peel away the layers and focus on you. Ooh, what's going on inside? Let's talk about love and truth and the matter of who we are. Let's find out together on Tell It to Stanya.
I almost want to say this is the first time, the first time that Brittany alerted me before starting the show. Brittany, why are you looking at it like that? Anyhow, pleasant good afternoon. Stanya Davis here. That's right. I am she and she is me. And today, of course, right now, 1 p.m., Tell It to Stanya. So a whole lot of things definitely happen this week. I mean, I got to go down the line of things that happened. But one of the things that did happen, I got a flyer talking about, hold on, I'm messing this up. Y'all ain't gonna 52 minutes. No, y'all ain't gonna do that to Stanya. Hold on, let me get the right, thing together. Okay, where's my little flyer? Bam. Okay, yes. World Suicide Prevention Day. That's right, it was this week. And so that's the direction that I decided to go in. And believe it or not, I was minding my own business as usual. Minding my own business. And, you know, connected with someone and figured, you know, let me see if one story here. And sure enough, there definitely was a story, which is good because it goes along with what it was that I originally wanted to speak about. And what I'm talking about, of course, we're talking about depression and suicide. But we're going to go a little deeper and we're going to be specific. I want to focus on the men. And I know, guys, I focus on y'all a lot. But this is good because this like y'all, you know, this y'all show. This y'all thing, this y'all space. This way y'all, you know, get to do the work. Get to find out more about parenting, being a good father. You know, you learn how to improve relationships and, of course, your emotional and mental health. And so that's where we're going to go. Everybody know I'm a life coach, number one life coach in these here parts, may I add. And I have to confess that even though most of my clients are women, I do have a few male clients. And honestly, I love the male clients. I prefer working with the man's them. Because to me, see my guest smiling. I do though, because to me, the men are, like, they more forthcoming to me. They, like, you know, I don't know. I know. But that's why I enjoy working with the men. The men, they brutally honest. And I love honesty. I love, listen, this what it is. Okay. I'm trying to go live. I know what's going on with my computer now. What's happening? Anyhow, so today, this is what we're talking about. We're going to talk about male depression and suicidal thoughts. I know it's definitely something that women would have experienced and a lot. But we're not talking about the woman's damn. We're talking about the man's damn today. So that's where we're going to go. So I want to welcome my guest in studio today, Andrew LaFleur.
Nice. Thank you for having me.
Okay, awesome. And like I said, you know, it was haphazard that we connected. You were selling things. You was moving through with business and stuff. And then, of course, it would have taken another turn. So in preparation for today's show, I did ask a few men a few questions. And these were the questions that I asked them. And very interesting, some of the responses. Okay, let's go. So question one was, have you ever experienced depression? Second, if yes, was it relationship? Was it family, death, money, or state, whatever it was? Have you ever, the third one, have you ever had suicidal thoughts? Fourth one, how do you navigate when life gets tough? And then the fifth one, which is the interesting one for me, on a scale from 1 to 10, 10 being the highest, Do you think women in your life create a safe space for you to be vulnerable? That was the interesting one, of course. So that's another thing. So if you want to join the conversation, you can send me a text message. You know, I love to read the text messages. 422-4796. That's 422-4796. No calls yet. Not yet. We got to get into the story and get into what's going on here. So with that said, Andrew, I know you shared with me before that you were asking me before I get, you know, I brown nose it now. Let me brown nose and love up Dwight. So you asked me when you came in studio, you asked me, where does Dwight sit, right? And
yes, because my Grammy often watches,
listens
to Morning Blend every single morning.
Okay, and what's Grammy's name? Shout out to Grammy.
My Grammy, her name is Elaine Sherman. Okay. So she's listening.
She's always listening.
Yeah, so shout out to my Grammy, the best Grammy in the world.
Okay, sound good. Boy, let me tell you something. Grammys run it. Grammys run it. I always say Grammys could get the children to do what parents can't get them to do. So shout out to Dwight, I guess. I don't even know why, you know, she's supposed to be listening to tell it to Stania, if anything. I mean, hello. But anyhow. Okay. So tell me a little bit about yourself. How old are you?
Well, I am 29 years old. I will be 30 November 16th.
Coming. Okay. Okay, good stuff. All right. So I got like but years on you because my birthday is in November as well.
It's a good month.
It's an amazing month. So, okay. So let's go back now. I know you shared that you had struggled with depression.
Yes.
Okay. So let's go back. What age are we talking here?
Well, I can't remember how old it was, but I remember the grade. I was in grade 10, 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
I was very much in high school. It was this competition, this speech competition that we had. Well, back then I went to CC Sweeting.
Okay.
And it was a speech competition against C.O. Walker. As you know, there's a beef between the two schools in terms of, you know, the best school in the Northwestern District.
So, oh, I didn't know that. And yeah. I work for education. Okay.
Yeah, so that's like our rival school. So it was a big competition. We was practicing and everything. Well, I was a former head boy to the junior side, which is T.A. Thompson. So public speaking was a no-brainer for me. So I was confident that I could easily win it, you know. So day of the competition, it was my turn. And I was like, wow. It wasn't that much of a crowd, but for some odd reason, I was just was stiff. I just had my hands up like this.
So anxiety.
Yeah, I just was talking. Mm-hmm. No, I was trying to do emphasis, but my hands was just stiff for some reason. Normally, I just talk normally when I in a crowd, but I don't know what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it caused us not to win.
Okay.
I was a little disappointed. Back then, I can't remember what I said online, but it was something that was to the extent of, like, I don't feel as though I'm like worthy. I feel very bad, like I let my school down.
Okay.
Although I like was bragging about, oh, I could do this or whatever. See, I had a very high, you know, mystique about myself ever since I was like a head boy.
Okay.
Right.
Uh-huh.
So what happened was,
okay, so I have a question. Okay, so you felt as though you let people down. I guess you let yourself down.
Yeah.
Okay, so I have a question. And, of course, I ask these questions because for me, and hopefully for people who are listening, I want these things to resonate in your heart and soul. And also, I want you to see yourselves, but I also want you to be a better person and to be a better parent. So I always ask these questions so that, you know, parents are aware or adults are aware, because I firmly believe, on a serious note, tell it to Stanley, I like talk foolishness, but I'm serious. I feel as though we have more of an adult, we have an adult problem. We don't have a children's problem. A lot of times we have an adult problem in terms of the way that we would have raised our children, and all that good stuff. So I have a question, Andrew. Okay, did you, like, where did this need to succeed and win, and where did that come from?
Well, I came from a background where, from a single parent background.
Mm-hmm.
But I live in a house full of family members. So I was always encouraged, like, to study and show myself approved, and always did my best that I can in primary school. But when I reached the junior high school level, that's when I started to be on the honor roll. I was on the honor roll straight through. So, because I wanted something out of myself. I wanted to be a university graduate. I wanted to succeed in life. I wanted to be someone in life that could motivate people and be a difference in the country. So that was my goal. So that's where that come from.
Okay. All right. So what happened? So you didn't win. You feel as though you let people down. You let yourself down. So what now happens? Because you said this is like the first time you would have experienced any form of depression.
Yeah, I was in a dark place. I tried to keep it cool, kept it to myself. I didn't allow anyone to know how I felt. But that was like the first time I really felt like maybe, because I was letting the devil use me. Thoughts was coming like, maybe people would be better off if I didn't exist, or if I wasn't around, maybe they could succeed better.
Okay.
And so this was one night, I think everyone was sleeping. I snuck into the kitchen, right? And it was sitting down in the dark. And I found the sharpest blade in the kitchen. And I sit down on the chair, and I was contemplating as the knife was actually to my neck. And I hear a voice from God was telling me, you know, don't do it, you know.
So, okay, hold on. Before we get to that, what's the space in between that first bout of depression and to this, when it gets really to the point where you're ready to just end it all? Because there must be some stuff that would have happened in the middle. So now, I know you said that you grew up in a single parent home. Single parent with your mom or dad?
Well, my mom, everything in the house was fine.
Okay.
You know, it's not really the housing situation, because I live in a big family with my mom, my grandma, uncle, mm-hmm. aunts, all of that. Mm-hmm. But it was just for me personally, like, my ego was tarnished. You know, with men, they have this, like, we have an ego thing going on, like, be big and macho, we can't fail and whatever. We want to put out there that we could handle it, we could be the leaders and all that. But that was the very first time my ego was crushed. Everything other than that was, with school-wise, was fine, but I just let that linger on me.
So
constantly.
Where do you think you said as men, there's an ego. Do you think, and I noticed you didn't mention your dad. Was your dad a part of your life?
My biological father, no, I don't know him.
Okay, all right. Okay, so I know you mentioned the ego. Do you think, like, where does this pressure come from, though? Do you think this is a self-imposed pressure? Is this a pressure from society or culturally where... or even religious too, where, you know, men are supposed to do this, men are supposed to do that, men are supposed to win all the time, men should be tough, you shouldn't talk about what you're going through, or, you know, like, where do you think this came from? Like who, you know, how we like to say they, who was the they in your life? Like, where did this pressure come from?
Well, it's societal stereotypes. But it really stemmed from when I was in grade 8, when I wanted to just be a prefect, because I'd never been a prefect before. And it was a time in the 8th grade, because this was before the 9th grade, where I actually would be chosen to be head boy. But it was just one time I just wore my socks. I didn't realize it was two different pairs of socks. They basically looked gray. I was rushing to get to school. And then we had the senior mistress at the time. I can't remember her name, but she was very mean. She was like, oh, you are two different type of socks. She told me to take off my shoes and take off the socks. I walked around with no socks on my shoes, right? And she was saying, oh, you want to be prefecting doing these things? You can never be a prefecting thing. So the first time in my life, I was crying tears. The great tears were so white. It was milky white, actually. Since then, I've never cried tears like that. But ever since then, I always wanted to prove to myself and others that I can prove people wrong and succeed in life and follow my dreams and have a goal that I set and I will achieve it. And I eventually did become a prefect, which was my original goal, but they actually chose me to become head boy during that time, which I was shocked.
Okay, so it was that. Okay, and you know, this may sound like seem very simple to some people, right? But you know, there's these things that we hear and they stay with us. You know what I mean? And they resonate in our soul when people say these things, and it's hurtful and it creates something within us. So, okay. So that was the first time that you remember something, you know, feeling away and being put down. Okay. All right. So now we fast forward to high school. And so that's the first time. So did you speak with your mom or your grandmother or uncles and say, hey, you know what? I feel really bad about this situation.
No, I'm not faulting them because I never mentioned it at all. I don't know why. I just kept it to myself.
Did they notice anything?
No, I'm a person that I could hide my emotions very well. Unless it's something I can't hide no longer. I could be going through a million one things no one ever knew.
That's most men, though.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's always some sign, though. I mean, it may be whether or not it's drinking, whether or not you're sleeping long, whether or not you... I mean, it may be something small, but there's always something that's not quite right. Like, you can't put your finger on it exactly. But okay, so that happened, and so you have all this stuff bottled in. Well, at the time, did you have someone who you can speak to? Like,
yeah, I had friends in high school. I was just being normal around people.
But it stayed with you.
Yeah, I think my biggest mistake is not reaching out. If I did, I could have gone to a guidance counselor and gotten some help, but I didn't. I'd have to wait until the depression turned into suicidal thoughts for me to wake up before I made that mistake.
Okay.
So all that was mostly on me. I'm not blaming anyone, but it's just mostly on me, just keeping it in too long and not sharing it how you're supposed to share when you're depressed. You're not supposed to keep depression in you.
Yeah,
that's a mistake a lot of people make. And if they make that, two things can happen. One, they'll hopefully get over it and move on. Or two, depression consumes them to the point of them being sick or worse. I just thank God that wasn't the case for me.
Okay, that's very powerful. That's powerful. Okay, so after the situation at school and you're keeping all these feelings inside, okay, what happened? Like, was there other things that kind of triggered your depression? And did you realize that it was depression, though?
I knew of depression based on the commercials they would have for medication for depression. But back then, I was kind of naive. I didn't know what real depression was. I just thought I was just really sad and upset. I didn't know that I had depression until years later, really looking back at it and really doing my research on it, that, hey, I had depression. I didn't realize it.
I don't think a lot of people realize it. You know, we've been in survival mode and we've been hurt so long. I think it just, we start to think that it's normal. You know what I mean? And it's not normal. You know, we're talking about depression, but even before it gets to that point, you know, as you shared, there's sadness. And even at the level of being sad, there should be a space where you can share how you feel. You know, there should be a space, there should be a person, and it's okay to speak. And, you know, guys, I'm talking to you because this is about y'all right now. And I know that, I know the pressure is be tall, man. The pressure is very tall. And I know that, you know, sometimes as women, based, especially based on these responses, what I got when I asked the men if they felt as though they could be vulnerable with their mate or the women in their life. And of course, I'll share what they said, but it wasn't looking too good. So I have to also speak to the women too, because I think that as women, we're very powerful. Boy, I love being a woman, child. I ain't going to tell you all the word like, I love it. Hello. But I feel as though as women, you know, one of the things or one of the gifts that we give our partners is that safe space, or it should be that space for him to be vulnerable and to say, man, listen, I'm really having a good day today. Or, you know, this happened to me today. And guys, and if you were a woman and you can't do all that, I think you were the wrong woman too. I just saying. I mean, you know, I'm just saying, because, you know, these things, this is a healthy relationship. My dad is 82. He's 82. And my stepmom, well, I ain't even gonna say her age, because she ain't gonna want me to say her age. But she always knows when my dad is upset. He don't have to say a thing. Okay? He doesn't even have, I don't know if he got one little look or one little twitch, but right away, she always knows when he's upset. So women, create that space with your man. I just saying. Okay, let's go back to Andrew. Okay, so Andrew, you're holding all this stuff in. You're not sharing it with anyone. And so what happens next? Like, at what point, I mean, like, how do we get to the knife?
I think what really set it off was that I heard people was talking about it, and they wasn't calling me out directly,
mm-hmm.
but it got to the point that I was blaming myself for the loss,
mm-hmm.
and then I just found my breaking point, and then
And you know what? Blaming self, that's one of the signs. A lot of times, you know, we blame ourselves when we are sad or when we are depressed. That's the biggest thing. The biggest thing. I mean, most of my clients, when they come in, you know, they're feeling as though, okay, it's something that I did. You know, and it's a terrible thing. So this one situation triggered the knife situation?
Yes.
Okay.
See, after, like, going back to grade 9 for a quick second, after I became med boy, I developed, I called it a self-righteous attitude. Like back then, everyone looked up to me as the leader. Everyone used to call me head boy because they didn't know my name. And even when I went to high school, people were still calling me that. So I had this self-righteous attitude that I could do no wrong. Mm-hmm. And I was like the perfect model student, always on the honor roll, etc. But when that happened, everything in my life changed, and everything that I developed, everything I thought was me,
mm-hmm.
All that went away. All that was crushed. I didn't know how to handle loss. I didn't know how to handle defeat or setback, because I was on the winning streak. And given that, mm-hmm. and the stuff I said earlier, that's what
triggered everything.
Yeah.
Okay, so now you're home. Where was everyone when this happened?
Sleeping. I snuck in the kitchen one night. It was very, the house was dark, and I was trying to be as quiet as possible.
So, okay, and this is a sensitive question, and I'm sure we're going to get to it. Because, okay, some people would say, okay, that's extreme from not winning the debate, the debate.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. And going now from not feeling good into the knife. So, okay, did your family ever know, like, at what point? Because, like, okay, what happened after, okay, you said you heard the voice of God, you put it down, and you just go back to bed?
I prayed silently and repented of that.
Mm-hmm.
So I pray to my Heavenly Father. Mm-hmm. And it's always good to have a relationship with God. Because mm-hmm. That's why I always have thankful for my mother. She's a very prayerful woman. Mm-hmm. And I know she's listening. And I just want to thank her for raising me to be the man that I am today. So shout out to my mom.
Okay. This isn't the first time I'm hearing the story, eh?
When I told her I was going to be on the show, given the topic, I thought I told her, but I guess I didn't.
So Andrew, from you were, how old were you at this point, 16?
You could say that.
Around 15, 16?
Yeah.
Oh, 17. Okay, from then until now, Mom did not know that this happened. So this is really the first time Mom is listening.
Unfortunately, yes.
Andrew, so what do you think Mom will say when you leave here?
I know it's going to be a discussion, but I just prayed about it and wanted to move on from it, but I never thought to actually mention it because so much things, life just continued on.
So, okay, after that one situation, did anyone in the house know? Did you ever tell anyone in the home? Because it's a village. There's Grammy. There's, what is it? You light up and say Grammy. There's your uncles. So no one knew. I mean, they know now.
No one knew.
So did you ever tell anyone ever, like outside of your family?
I believe I told my my significant other. I believe I told her. I didn't tell her to the extent, but I told her I had those thoughts before.
So, okay, now see, you throw a curveball on me now. Hold on now. Okay, so when you told Mom you were coming on the show, and she would have asked, "What you gonna talk about?" Right.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you said depression?
Yeah, she's like, when were you ever depressed? I didn't know these things. You could have told me.
So, listen, Brittany, take me to commercial break. Be coming right back.
Taking a look at those investment options yet?
Too busy. Look at today. Workout, breakfast, drop kids at school, back-to-back meetings, dog from the groomer, nails, and that's all before 12. How come you're so chill?
That's because my money is as busy as you.
At RF, we find the best Bahamian and international investments to keep your money busy so you can spend more time focusing on you. Contact us at rfgroup.com to find out more. RF, money at work.
The new Guardian Radio Sunday is here. With a full day of diverse programming, kicking off with the first and last word in sports, The Press Box with Naughty and Earl the Pearl, followed by Temple Time, Caribbean and Urban American Gospel Hits, Vital Voices, Sisters in Christ, and Your Lane with Coach Trish Hanna, Remark with Garth Roseborough. Let's Talk Together in English with Lady T, Sunday starting at 11 a.m. right here on Guardian Radio 96.9.
Always on the go? Missed a show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Looking for insurance that fits your lifestyle and your budget? At Star General Insurance, we've got you covered. Whether it's motor insurance with flexible options for third-party liability and comprehensive coverage, or commercial insurance products that protect your business, we have choices you can afford. Own a home or renting? Our home insurance products have just what you need. And for the adventurers out there, we offer marine insurance too. Visit our website or social media pages for contact information and quotes. Star General, insurance made simple.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
And we are back, and we left off with Andrew saying that this is the first time his mommy would have ever heard about his depression. And, you know, this is, but this is a lot of people. A lot of people just suffer in silence. Like, we see people all the time, and people are smiling, people are quote unquote functioning, but they're going through a whole lot. And this is why we have to be gentle with ourselves, but also gentle with people. And that's the thing about depression. A lot of times people suffer in silence. And even with the suicidal thoughts, it's not that people, I mean, they want to, it's not that they really want to die. They just want to stop the thoughts. They want to stop the pain. They want to stop feeling, you know, a certain way. Because it starts to consume you. I remember a client of mine, literally every Sunday we would go on the beach. We'd go on the beach and we would sit on the beach together just so she could clear her head, just so she can have a little space to talk, just so she could be okay. Whew. Okay, and yeah, a lot of people suffer in silence. A lot of people, when they're depressed or have suicidal thoughts, I don't think it's that they want to die, but I think they just want that pain to stop. And, you know, you said something. You said that you were, you know, you felt like you were on a winning streak. And that kind of triggered, that kind of set you up in a space where, okay, there's perfection or, you know. And so now y'all know I always got one cheesy retarded story to share. So here we go. There's this show, Resident Alien, that I watch. Well, the season, the whole thing done now. But anyhow, so the alien was experiencing heartbreak. And so he was depressed. And so he's talking to the human friend. And he's telling the human friend how he feels so bad. And so the human friend says, yeah, you know, you're going to get better. So, you know, he's like, how do you know I'm going to get better? You know? And so she said, well, I know, because this is part of the human experience, that, you know, one minute everything is great. It's good. You know, everything is perfect. You're happy. There's joy. And then there goes a terrible period where you're sad or you're angry or something happens. We don't know how long it'll last. And then you'll be happy again. And then you'll be sad again. And then back and forth. But that's the thing. Unfortunately, this is what life and living is about. Nothing is like this smooth sailing situation. You know, we like to say life be lifen. And life be lifen. Okay? Life be lifen. And that goes for everyone. At some point in time, and you know, I asked them, and I identified about 20 men, and all of them said, of course, that they would have experienced some form of depression. I think everybody has, whether or not it just was grief, maybe you lost a loved one or whatever it was or is. It is something that affects all of us. And it consumes us in different ways. It takes control. And you said it earlier, Andrew, where you said it could affect the body. And he's right. Depression is hurtful, physically hurtful. You know, if you're on the little... You know, the light end of it, you might get one headache or a stomach ache. Think about it. When you're upset and depressed, think about it. You have pain in the body. And then on the next end of this spectrum, you could develop different illnesses that affect it, that you know, that's very detrimental to your health, to your life. But like I said, this is something that we don't talk about as Bahamians. even working at a school for kids with behavioral issues, I remember 7 out of 10 experience grief. So there's also a correlation between grief and depression and behavior. And I'll tell you this. One level, the first level is, okay, somebody do something to me. Okay, that's the first thing. That's usually, or something happened. If we don't take a look at it, it turns into sadness. If we don't look at it, it could turn into depression. And sometimes it goes a step further, where it now turns into rage. And this is why we see also one of the reasons, I mean, don't say the reason, one of the reasons why we even see a lot of people lashing out. We see people who are violent. We see men who unalive their spouses all the time. All the time. We see people jumping off the bridge. We see this. This is present, but we don't address it. I saw Mr. Davis saying that talking about leave for mental health issues, and I mean, I have to applaud him for that. I saw that this week. And then on top of that, we don't even zoom in on childhood depression. We don't zoom in on that. We either say the children are rude, or we say they may have a learning disability. Children be depressed too. It's almost like we depressed. We carrying around stuff that nobody knows about, and that's not a good thing. It's just not a good thing, because it builds and it builds. It also even contributes to our relationships. So you have to talk about it. You have to share. And by the way, okay, see, we have a caller. Brittany, we have a caller. Let me go ahead and read the text message somebody sent. Hey, be encouraged. And the person said, I want you to Google the poem called Mother to Son by Langston Hughes. Okay, we have a caller on the line. Okay, caller, go ahead.
I got a lady there just stuck in the waist. Bremen, darling, Ferguson. What I've noticed, right? People doesn't like to touch the main problem. The problem we have is greed, and people want other people's things, and stealing other people's things, and that's creating a big problem in the Bahamas here today. Okay?
Wait, so what does that have to do with depression?
Say it again?
How what does that have to do with depression?
Well, when people cannot get justice, okay? Or when the police don't want to come out when it's late or when it's weekend, okay? And it doesn't, okay? That's what causes a problem. People got to be thinking about it and wondering how they're going to get justice and how they're going to get situation alleviated. That's the problem. Okay. That's the problem, one of three problems.
Okay, sir, thank you for your comment. Thank you for the call.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you, darling. All right, thank you for calling in. All right, yeah, well, there's a whole heap of stuff that's definitely going on. Okay, Andrew, I have a question. Okay, so you said that this is the first time mom's tuning in. This is the first time she's aware. What did she say?
What did she say?
Yeah.
When she found out what the topic was, she asked me, when was I ever depressed? And I thought it was a long time ago, and I didn't tell her anything. And she was a little bothered by it, but mm-hmm. she said that she always will love me, no matter what, I could always talk to her about any and anything. And I appreciate my mom for that. And it was just me personally kept it in for whatever reason. It was years ago, so I'm trying to remember the main reason why I didn't say nothing. But basically, everything I already said already, that's what I can remember.
Okay. Okay, and if you have a text that you want to share, if you want to communicate with me, 422-4796. That's 422-4796. Also, you can call the lines, the telephone lines, 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Okay, so we have a message, another message. Stanley, when I was a kid, I was always happy playing with Lego. What do these kids have to be depressed about with all this technology? I never had an iPhone, iPad, and TikTok, Stanya. Okay, thank you for sharing. But there's a whole lot that children have to be depressed. Okay, children could be depressed for different reasons. For one, okay, suppose you're living in a home where your parents are struggling, and they're watching, and you're hungry, you can't eat, you're watching your mommy or your daddy be stressed out over money. Children take that on too. They see it, whether or not we hide it or not, they take it on. Children are depressed when the home is broken, when mummies and daddies divorce and separate. They start to feel sometimes somehow it's their fault. Sometimes they feel as though they're not being loved. You know, if mommy loved me or if daddy loved me, they would have stayed. That's depression. Children get depressed sometimes when we as parents put pressure on our children. I love my mommy. As you all know, my mom isn't with me anymore, but I could remember sometimes my mom would say, as a little child, she would say, Stania, or Stan, mommy, I got an A. Stan, why didn't you get an A+? Mommy, I lost 5 pounds, mommy. Stan, why didn't you lose 10 pounds? So, you know, in the mind of the child, you're just not good enough. Okay? There's a whole, you're talking about what children have to be depressed about? Children can be depressed about being bullied. Bullying is a huge thing. We grown and in the workplace, we being bullied. Children have a whole lot to be depressed about. And then there's some children who there may be a chemical imbalance where they may need some medication. Would they got to be upset? Y'all ain't want me continue on with this. Children have been molested and raped and violated. Children are struggling with their sexuality. They got plenty to be depressed about. Our children are like our little life companions. And when they see mommy and daddy going through stuff, they going through it right there with them. Right there with them. So childhood depression is a huge thing. See, this is a huge thing. Very, very huge. It's huge, yet it's silent. And then it becomes loud when the catastrophe happens. And usually the catastrophe ends in either violence against themselves or violence towards others. Okay, I have someone down another message. And once again, yeah, I love the messages. Continue messaging. And if you want to send me a text message, 422-4796. That's 422-4796. And, of course, you can call. You can call 323-6232. That's 323-6232. And one more thing, the text messenger, and I love you. You know I love you. But that same attitude and belief that children have nothing to be depressed about, that's part of the problem. So we first have to change that belief right there. And we have to check in. We're talking about children, but even your friends, your family. Because I could tell you this, the strongest people, for the most part, are the ones who are depressed. Okay, another text message. The Bahamian way of communicating can be very mean and antagonistic. I would like to encourage us to be a little kinder and gentler with our words. Yes. And if you're a parent, this my little cheesy thing. We're going back to Andrew in a minute. This my little cheesy thing. And I think I said this before. My daughter, I can tell you, she's sick of me. We're talking. But this is something that we do in our family, where we have family meetings. As young as my grandniece, who is now, what are my grandnieces now? 13. Hi, Ramaya. Boop, boop, boop. She can call a family meeting. Anyone could call a family meeting. You could say what you want to say, but you got to be respectful. The family meeting is a place where you can have conversations. And as parents and as people in general, you got to watch people. You got to watch people. There's signs. You might miss them, but there's some signs. Okay, we have a call on the line. All right. Hello.
Hi, Sonia. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm great. In reference to your topic today, depression, right?
Mm-hmm.
Am I right?
Yes. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm wondering is when we look at a lot of persons now in adulthood who's supposed to be passing down wisdom and understanding to the younger one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even in the, let's say, our government systems, you know, a lot of them behave just as troubled kids.
Right.
So when we have adults still trapped in children's ways, we wonder what had happened to them growing
right.
up. And so how do we curve this situation? Because currently in the country, when you look at the way how we behave as human beings, seems like humanity is almost missing nowadays, and the love and community for each other and the care, it's not what it ought to be, you know. It's
right.
all about what can I get out of this for me.
Yeah.
So that all of these stem from childhood trauma and with the child what I've experienced, but there was no one to speak to this child in a way, and also the spiritual side of children.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, children attending Sunday church and all of that. I know growing up, we used to always walk around with a testament in our back pocket, and so our little spiritual life was always one that we try to keep intact. Because
right.
if our children today are just being driven by school and books and things of the world,
mm-hmm.
and then their spiritual being would become depleting, and I think that needs to be checked as well. But thank you. I'll hang up and listen.
All right. Yeah, it's well, thank you for calling, definitely. As I shared, there's some things that you can do, and this is why you have to really cultivate a relationship, you know, with your children and even now, I mean, the workplace or what have you. You ain't got to cultivate no personal relationship, but you have to be gentle and understanding. You know, what's the golden rule? Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. I think we forget these simple little things. And, you know, for me, I could be dead, tired, sleepy, and everything else. And if someone calls me, now before I hang up the phone or whatever, if I'm busy, I always say, babe, hold on, you everything okay? You okay? Because sometimes what you say could either push somebody over the edge or pull them back. Usually working with people I work with companies as well, with employees, managers who have behavioral issues. And even when they come to me, I'm a life coach with my degree is in psychology. We go all the way back into the childhood. We go all the way back because there's some things that happen that people are still carrying around. Okay, we have another caller. Caller, go ahead.
Hello, Stanya.
Hello.
Yeah, it was me who text to Google the poem Mother to Son. Also, the older people and the leaders ought to know that everybody is vulnerable, kids, elderly people, and women need our protection as men. If we are not to be the protectors, and the guardian of the nation, then we should not posture and put ourselves in position. Personally, I know what it is to grow up in a society where nobody would be bullying the children of the day. And I know what it is to grow up and take on jobs where people tried to come on to me on the job. I'm talking about men, you understand? And here I am today. I have gotten what I got in life, and my two daughters have their master's degree. My son has a career, and children are vulnerable, and we must be the village that carries them on. I called a couple of months ago on your show, and you were going to call me back, but I'll leave it up to you.
All right.
For another day.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Alrighty. Okay. Yeah. So, okay. We just have a few minutes left, but okay, Andrew, I do have to ask, was there any other time that you would have felt like depressed or had suicidal thoughts? Like what triggered, you know, like did it ever happen? Cause that's a long time ago.
Well, the last time, it would have happened was, I remember it very vividly. 2018, 2019, I was very much in college. This one, looking back, is not as serious as the first one. I could laugh at this one. But it was back then, it was very serious for me.
Mm-hmm.
Back then, I really craved companionship.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just growing up watching all kind of movies about college life and how people find their significant other in college and all these different things. And I didn't have that. I didn't have no companion or someone I could call that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I had acquaintances and friends, but I never could seem to find that particular person, you know, and that was kind of an issue for me.
So you craved companionship?
Yeah.
Oh, and that was kind of getting to you?
Yeah. So I kind of learned from my first depression encounter. So instead of me taking myself, I was saying, you know, if God were to take me home early, then I wouldn't have to worry about anything, and I'd be in his arms.
Right.
And it was, I was trying to remember the song for the longest time. I can't remember the song name, but I remember a verse in the song. It's a Christian song. It goes like, the Lord would take me by my right hand across death's river. I can't remember the song. It's a lovely song. I really love the song, but I use that song. I use that song as my anthem to say, if the Lord were to take me early, then I would have just go during that time.
Okay, so that made you sad. So at what point did you connect with your girlfriend? Because I don't know, I'm looking at your profile picture. You're all bow up, all bay up in this picture. I mean, you're holding on to a woman holding on to you.
That was...
All your teeth out your mouth.
That was during college. So that was way before I met her. So
okay.
That was years ago. So what happened was the Lord set up that for me to, you know, have like close friends, like meeting people I could bond with, people I could, you know, talk to. And we wasn't necessarily dating or anything, but these were just people I could really have confidence in.
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, there was no really need for it, you know. I mean, I dated here and there, but that feeling I had was gone.
So, okay. And, you know, speaking with a client this morning, and, you know, and the person shared, and she was like, Stanley, I feel alone. And I just feel so alone. And, you know, we talk about, you know, there's depression when it comes to breakup, right? Mm-hmm. But there's also singleness depression, too, where, you know, we don't talk about it, you know. And, you know, a lot of times people, well, you know, I could be 100 years old, so I talking about Trina. Single again, back on the prowl. Listen, sometimes.
That used to be my anthem back in the day.
What you know about that? That's before your time, Andrew.
When that song came out, I was like young, and then I heard it, and then when I was in my teen years, I'd be like, this song is speaking to me.
But see, and we don't, like I say, we don't always talk about singleness depression, being alone. And, you know, and that's another thing that society, you know, put on you, that you're supposed to be with someone. And if you're not chosen, selected, you're not with someone, then there's definitely something that is wrong with you. Now, mind you, there's a inner craving that I think we have, companionship and being with someone. Mm-hmm. You know, it represents something. But we don't always talk about that singleness depression as well. And it's real. It's really real. Okay, we have a text message coming in. Well, this is a long one. Hold on, what this say now? Okay, people don't all allow themselves to feel depressed, unfortunately. And men especially can't show their vulnerability, or they will be considered soft or gay, which is unfortunate. Oh, you're so true, darling. That's why we have so many people that drink. Alcoholism is a very serious problem here, but people just see it as having a good time. You hit it on the nail. That's right. There's a whole lot of men that are in the club, and they drinking because they are depressed. Yes, indeed. Okay, let me just read some of these messages. Okay, and I asked, how did you deal with it, depression? They said slowly and deliberately. Okay, a lot of them, relationships and family, that this is what had them very depressed. Alrighty, when life gets tough as a man, I believe you should go read the book of Job, see what the meaning of tough is. Nobody ever had it harder than Job. Okay, when I asked about the women in his life, he said that he would give them a 6 out of 10. He also says a woman should come into your life to bring some sort of peace. That's all a man requires, and to be feminine. Okay, we have another person. Okay, what is a lily pistol? Okay. Oh, okay. Women, this for y'all. Women have a hard time listening to what men say. They seem to hear what they want to hear, even when their hearts are in the right place. And the place is safe as long as your troubles, concerns don't involve them. Then it can go from unsafe to hostile, where the woman is more concerned with how she feels about your troubles than what you feel and how those feelings can be discussed, mitigated, or resolved. So, okay, that's what we're saying. That's what they're saying about the women. When I asked another gentleman, how would he rate him being vulnerable to a woman, and how the woman, is she, you know, creating the safe space? He said he would give the women in his life 1 out of 10.
Wow.
This is very sad.
One?
That's what he said. Okay, well, another guy, he said 8. How does he deal with it? He said, I try to find someone to talk to for advice and direction. I take time to appreciate the things I do have that bring value to my life. I get much needed rest by not becoming too busy. I go to the beach and listen to the sound of the wind and the ocean. This person says that his suicidal thoughts came in as early as the age of 12. You're talking about what people got to be depressed about. Age of 12, he said it was a result of feeling rejected, unwanted, and hopeless. That's somebody he said at 12. At 12, that's what he experienced. So yes, childhood depression is real. It's very, very real. All right? There's a whole lot going on. A whole lot of sadness, a whole lot of things. And as I said, it manifests in different ways. It manifests in anger. It manifests in terms of us not having good relationships. Whether or not it's on the job, whether or not it's our intimate relationships. We see people all the time. We see men unaliving women. We saw it this year. Mm-hmm. We saw it this year. Now, we ain't know all the details, but what we do know is that the person did what he did. He was upset. And like I said, and anger and depression sometimes go together. Okay. So, okay, we gotta wrap this up. I surprised the white man messaged me. Okay, you want to share something before we end?
Yeah. To answer your question about the woman in your life, mm-hmm. he was asking the
oh,
men.
Oh yes, yes.
I was waiting for you to ask me that question.
Okay, so would you give your... Listen, this won't show off, but this woman and all the teeth hanging out is mode again. Boy, listen, Brittany, you could see it from over there, right? Hello. Okay, now. Let me hear this.
Well...
Let me hear this. Big up yourself, Chad.
Well, the women in my life, my mom, my grandma, most of all, my beautiful fiancé, Keisha, I know she's listening. If you're listening, I want you to scream. Your hubby is calling you out. So
Jesus, what this is.
You'll be engaged. So
Andrew, I would give ask you if you're engaged. How you get
I would give her 12 out of 10. She is wonderful. You know, I just want to say that don't let depression go into suicide, and don't let your suicide thoughts control you to commit it. Have faith and trust in God. I had those feelings. It could have been very bad if I fallen through. A lot of loved ones could have been hurt.
Right.
But you never know what impact you could have in life. You know, and once you move forward in that, ask God to help you, and you seek the help, you talk to a confident friend, family member, or a pastor, or a counselor, or a life coach like the host deal.
Hello.
You know, you'll get far in life. You will find happiness. You'll find a good career. And you could find that special someone, whether it be a husband or a wife to be.
I have a question. Why did you want to do this today?
I just like to motivate people. I like to use my testimony, my story to help motivate others who might have are going through, unfortunately might go through something that I went through before. And if they listen to this, and if they look back on this and say, if Andrew could go through it and overcome and not smell like smoke in the furnace, then I could too.
Okay, good stuff. Okay, we're gonna leave it here today. Guys, well, we're talking to the women now. I did a video on TikTok. Look for me on TikTok, Stanley Davis, The Love-Starved Woman. Take a look at that video. Very interesting. And actually, for today, Saturday, tomorrow, I may do a Zoom talk about The Love-Starved Woman. So if you want to be a part of that, give me a call. I'm putting this out here. I say I don't want no man them calling me. I am not interested. Okay? If you ain't calling me, but I'm not interested. So women, y'all could give me a call, 451-6767, if you want to be a part of the private Zoom meeting. Because, listen, we have to do our work in private. We ain't got to do it, you know, broadcast it. This is your safe space to talk and vent. So let's do it tomorrow. What time are we doing this? Tomorrow at 4 p.m. All right? So if you want to be a part of the private session, it's free. Just give me a call, 451-6767. We out of here. I'll see you next week.